Waterbury Christian Church's Sermon Podcast. The sermon you are about to listen to was delivered on January 29, 2012. This week, we take a look at Ephesians 2:11 and how believers have become citizens of God's kingdom. Be sure to check out our website at salisburychristianchurch.org for the latest news and events at Salisbury Christian Church. As I was writing this sermon, I was thinking about some of the things that I have studied with genealogy. Now, my Uncle Mike Brewer is a genealogy phenomenon, and he likes to research all sorts of things, his family, and he even went so far as to research the Kern side of my family. And it's interesting to know where we came from. It's interesting to know how we got here. And what's really interesting to me is that the folks who, from the Kern family, that came over from Germany to the United States are buried just right down the road here in Salisbury Cemetery. And knowing where we came from really helps us to understand who we are. And if you think about your family histories, if you think about the folks who at some point came over across the pond and established themselves here, you will oftentimes figure out that it probably was an uncomfortable time for those folks. Our country's history is made up of immigrants. It's made up of people who were maybe displaced from somewhere, who may have wanted a new life somewhere, but in all our country, we came as immigrants at some point in time. There have been floods of immigrants, legal and illegal, as we know, but all of us are foreigners. All of us are mutts of some sort. But why did those people come over? Why did our family come from Germany to the United States? Why did your family come from where they came from and come to the United States? Probably to seek a better life. Probably to seek freedom. And most likely they came because there was some sort of opportunity. The Kern family were farmers, and I think they may have been some type of stonemasons or something like that. And so you get a lot of stories about people coming to the United States, but one thing we need to remember is that at one point, our family was, someone in our family was an immigrant. Like America, God's nation is made up of foreigners. But that's not how it began. Once the borders were closed to God's nation, God's kingdom, the borders were closed, and you and I, each of us who sit here today, were foreigners. We were excluded from that intimate family of God. You see, in Ephesians 2, the text that we're going to look at today, it speaks of a dividing wall. A dividing wall that was physical, but it was also cultural. The dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. Basically, what we know as Gentiles is that everybody who was not a Jew. You had the Jews and everybody else. And you and I were included in that everybody else. We are Gentiles. Citizenship in Israel is not so much defined by its borders, the national borders, but by its heritage. And it was primarily by birth. If you look in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 11, we can see what we mean. It says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. So there was a physical distinction between Jews and Gentiles, the circumcised and the uncircumcised. Anyone born outside of a Hebrew lineage was considered a Gentile. Now, Gentiles could worship God, but they were not given the promises that God had made to the nation of Israel. Gentiles could engage in worship at the temple, but were restricted to the outermost court of the Gentile. The temple, if we know anything about the Jewish temple, there was an inner sanctum where God resided, the Holy of Holies. And every once in a while, there'd be a division where you, as you moved out further away from the Holy of Holies, you had the priest's area, then you had the Jews, then you had the court of women, and then you had the Gentiles, the ones furthest away from the Holy of Holies. In fact, there was an actual physical barrier in the temple. It was a 4.5-foot tall wall that stood between the Gentiles and the Holy of Holies. Jews could go beyond that barrier, no problem. But the Gentiles had to stay out. In fact, recent archaeological excavations have found these tablets, these plaques that were hung on the wall. And there were about 22 of these plaques in all. And on one of them, it says that no foreigner is allowed to enter. Whoever is caught will be personally responsible for his ensuing death. They were serious about that dividing wall. Gentiles were not allowed closer to God. That's essentially what that wall was saying. There was not only a religious and ancestral difference between the Jews and the Gentiles, but like we said, there was also a physical difference. And it says here in our text that the thing done by men, the circumcision that was given to the Jews, was not performed on the Gentiles. Here in Ephesians, Paul was speaking to a predominantly Gentile group. And we are included in this group, the foreigners, the Gentiles, the ones furthest away from God. But thankfully, in our text, and in most texts that you read in the New Testament, there is good news. Peace has come for the Jews and Gentiles. They are now one. Look in verse 14. It says, "For he himself is our peace. He who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross." So you can see that the Jews and the Gentiles, they didn't like each other. And that's probably an understatement. There was real, tangible hostility between the two groups. And here in our text, it says, no longer is that hostility there. Because of who? Because of Christ. It says that Christ, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, he made these two groups one by abolishing laws and commandments that cause separation between the two groups. Now, we know in Matthew that it says Jesus came to fulfill the law, so it's not that Jesus is making everything else, that he's getting rid of all these things, but he's getting rid of the effect that these commandments have on people. Now, when the Jews and the Gentiles were confronted with this law, they understood that they probably could not get to the full promise that was offered to the Jews. But when Jesus came, he abolished those laws and commandments so that the two groups could become one. The laws and the commandments were the thing that distinguished the Jews from the Gentiles. And now, because of Christ, it has been removed. Jesus' purpose was to come and unite Jews and Gentiles into one body, the thing that we see today as the church. He is to bring peace and reconcile that body to God the Father. But how does he do this? Look in the following verses. It says, "And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Through the cross and through his death, Jesus has obliterated the wall of hostility. He has destroyed the wall that once kept Gentiles away from seeing God, away from the Holy of Holies. Citizenship has been granted, and access has been given to us. The cross was the final act that destroyed the wall, restricting Gentiles from the entire temple. But Jesus' death took it one step further. Not only did it destroy the wall that kept Gentiles and Jews separate, it also ripped down the curtain that kept everybody away from God's presence. We know in the story of Jesus' crucifixion, when he died, the temple curtain was torn in two. And no longer did God dwell in the Holy of Holies, but his Spirit was released to be in believers. We all now have access to the Father because of Christ's work on the cross. Those who were far away, those who were on the outer courts, us, are now near with God. In verse 19, it says, "Consequently," now you need to know that whenever you see "consequently" or "therefore" in the Bible, you need to know what the "therefore" is there for. Probably something important. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." To me, that is really, really, really good news. Like in our country, by birth, only by birth, can we become full citizens of the United States of America. People can, from outside the United States, can become citizens, but they are not full citizens. They can't become president. Only by birth in the United States can you become a full citizen of the USA. In God's nation, in God's kingdom, it is by rebirth and baptism that we can be full citizens of God's kingdom. And what's more, it doesn't end there. In verse 20, it says that members of God's household, this household is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Now, I know we have a lot of folks in the congregation who are involved with construction and contracting and all sorts of stuff like that. I don't know a thing about it. But what I do know is that in buildings of this era, in Ephesians, and even now, the cornerstone of a building has to be perfect. It must be level. Otherwise, everything else that is built on top of that cornerstone is off kilter. And so you see here that the temple that was in Jerusalem is no longer of consequence to us. Now God is building a new temple with Christ as the cornerstone, the foundation being the work of the apostles, and you and I as the building blocks of that temple. And all of that is offered to us because of Christ's work on the cross. In him, the whole building, verse 21, is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. You know, we call this building the house of God. But it's not necessarily this structural building that is the house of God. It is the temple that is constructed with each and every believer sitting here this morning and each and every believer across the whole entire earth. Jesus, through his death, has allowed us to be citizens. Jesus, through his death, has even allowed us to be part of God's household. It's not that we're just part of a nation, but we are living with God. And here it says, God in his Spirit dwells in the temple that is constructed with us as the building blocks and Christ as the cornerstone. God no longer resides in Zion, but in each of us by his Spirit. You know, there's been a lot of debate in politics lately about whether or not we should keep the borders open or keep the borders closed. And I really don't have an opinion on it, I guess, probably because I don't necessarily know all the facts, so I'm not educated enough to make that kind of a statement. But in God's kingdom, there is no doubt that the borders are open. In fact, there are no borders anymore. There is no dividing wall of hostility. There is only God's love that is shown through Christ that has made us citizens of his holy kingdom. To become a citizen of that kingdom, to gain everything that Christ has offered, you must accept Christ as Savior. You must accept that he died for our sins. You must accept Jesus Christ, the one who removed the barriers so that we may fully see God.